Hey, it's the Body Bishops.
All right, well, hello, Matt Green.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm all right. It's been a little while since we've done a podcast.
Feels like we've, never done one before.
Yeah.
starting from the beginning all over again.
This is weird. Yeah. So I've been moving house, which has taken up most of my life outside of work hours and, sleep hours, yeah. So, very little sleep hours. Yeah, but that's been nice, moving to walking distance from the church. It's been lovely. So.
Busy, but back in the saddle, as they say.
Yeah, back to the gym today, back to running, back to healthy eating, and back to Baldy Bishops. So it's all good.
Yeah.
Mondays.
All is well in the world again. Yeah.
So we left off in 1 John. We were in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and today we're in chapter 3. We're actually, 1 John, we'll be in here for a couple of episodes of this, but it's it turned out it was we need to just spend a long time in 1 John.
Yeah. It's one of those types of epistles, isn't it? Especially when you, if what we're focusing on is the one of the principles.
Yeah.
Then it's almost all there is in 1 John.
Pretty much. If you believe this, then this is what it's going to look like in your relationships. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I love about 1 John actually is, or all of John's epistles, John being part of the inner circle of Christ, someone who was there for everything. The way that he teaches is very similar to the way that Jesus taught. He doesn't pull any punches. Everything is matter of factish.
Yeah,
there's no it's black or white in many ways in the way he says things. So I appreciate that, but it causes things to be a bit complicated and in your face at times. It's not his fault. He's filled with the Holy Spirit when he wrote it. But for us, it's like black or white.
Yeah.
Very straightforward.
Yeah, it's light or dark truths in a world that's full of brokenness and chaos, and then needing the wisdom to navigate that, what that looks like. So let's do the old gospel truth, gospel identity stuff then. Verse 1 and verse 2 has a lot to say about that in chapter 3.
I'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, we are now the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is."
Right. That's just amazing. So we're the children of God, we're beloved of God, and one day we will see Christ and we'll be like him. So
wow. Incredible.
Those are pretty glorious.
We're just
truths.
Reading about being glorified with Christ for the sake of Christ this morning, weren't we?
In the
book we're reading together, and there it is. We'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is.
Yeah, so that's our hope. That's our present reality. It's our future reality, all because of the grace of Jesus Christ and the gospel that is true, that the Father has loved us and has made us his children, which changes our identity then, which then changes our practice. Verse 3, everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself as he is pure. So if we believe it, we want to live like it's true. And then John has a lot to say about what it looks like to live like it's true. But we're in gospel community, so we're going to skip down to verse 10 and verse 15 and look at the principle of being like God our Father. So we want to be like God our Father. What does that look like? And we're going to unpack that a little bit in verse 10 to 15 then.
That's good. Verse number 10 says, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother."
Right.
That's pretty. Again, he's not pulling any punches, is he?
Yeah. So that's pretty. I mean, Ephesians chapter 2, we'll not go there, but chapter 2, verse 2 to 3 says that before we were in Christ, we were children of wrath and children of disobedience. In John 8, Jesus says to the people listening to him, "You're of your father, the devil," right? And then here, John takes these truths and he says, if you're not loving your brother, then you're a child of the devil, right? And you're like, my goodness me. So it's that chip off the old block stuff. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, like father, like son. So this is how a child of God and a child of Satan are made known.
Yeah, and we start to see that contrast here, doesn't it? And we were talking about it's black and white, it's light and dark. We saw that from the previous two chapters as well. But here we start to see this contrast, God or Satan.
Yeah.
And it feels like the whole chapter he's doing that in different variables.
Yeah, so a true child of God has a transformed heart, which will begin to express itself in a desire to do two things. So if I'm a true child of God, I've been given a transformed heart, the evidence of that, the reality of that is my desire to live a life of righteousness mm-hmm. and to live a life of love. Now, of course, as Christians, we're going to stumble into, or not, we're going to willfully go into sin. You don't accidentally sin, but we're going to sin and we're going to do hateful things towards one another. But this is about lifestyle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To practice these things, to live a lifestyle. So a child of God wants to live in righteousness and wants to live in love.
Yeah, yeah, that's
but
it.
But a child of Satan, on the other hand, is a bit different, right?
Yeah, yeah, a child of Satan is a child of wrath and darkness. Again, going back to the John 8 analogy where he says you are of your father, the devil, and that's why they were lying and thirsting for the murder of Jesus.
Yeah,
he was a thief and a devourer, and his children are like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, it's... this word practice being used over and over again by John, I think in the ESV particularly, it uses the word practice quite a bit.
Yeah.
Those who practice righteousness,
yeah.
Those who practice. And I think that's important. You know, as children of God, we practice righteousness. We practice love.
Yeah.
As children of Satan, we'd be practicing the opposite.
Yeah. So the church is to be a loving church in a dying culture,
yeah.
Really. So we get to verse 11. We're still in this like father, like son stuff. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So that's that beginning stuff again, both the beginning of the Bible and the law, you should love your neighbor as yourself, but also in the beginning of the gospel when Jesus is in the upper room, which we're actually reading as a church this week.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
John 13 to 17. And it's love each other as I have loved you. So
yeah.
You've heard this from the beginning. That we have to have this love for one another.
Yeah, the call to love like Christ.
Yeah, yeah. So verse 12 to 13, we keep going.
It says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you.
Yeah, so we're seeing here that the children of the devil are also like their big brother Cain. Right? So you've got a big brother. If you're a child of Satan, you have a big brother because he's the first. He's the first human murderer and you're connected to him still. But those who are in Christ, the world's going to hate us because we're not of the world and the world is full of hate. And I was just reading, I'm still listening to Andy Serkis doing The Lord of the Rings at the moment.
Oh, it's so good.
He's really good at it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I forget it's just one guy doing it all.
I know, yeah.
But it's the orcs and there's different tribes of orcs. And they hate one another. But I think Sam or Frodo, at one point, they say, don't be mistaken, Sam. If they had seen us, they would have united together for that moment to harm us. And then once we were finished with, the hatred would have returned.
Yeah.
So the world hates us. But even though there's hatred in the world for one another, you know, because it's a world of hate, it begins to unite in that hatred for believers.
Yeah,
but we're
absolutely.
We're supposed to be living different than that. So.
Of course, yeah.
Verse 14 to 15 then, we keep going.
Yeah. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Right. Heavy. So one of the clear signs that we're no longer children of the devil and are now children of God and little siblings of Jesus is that we love each other.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. It's going from orthodoxy to orthopraxy. As we even read this morning about how Schaefer was saying there are the two orthodoxies. There's the orthodoxy of theology and then the orthodoxy of practice.
Yeah.
And if one doesn't lead you to the other, then you're not orthodox.
You're not getting it right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this idea is a daily habitual practice of love reveals a child of God.
Mm.
A daily habitual practice of hate reveals a child of Satan. Remember the words of Jesus, I say to you that whoever hates his brother is a murderer, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like, we want to be like God our Father, and what does that look like? It looks like growing in love for one another, growing to daily practice love for one another, rather than our old father, the devil, and our old big brother, Cain, who were murderers. So, yeah, we want to be like God the Father, but in verse 16 to 18, we also want to be like Jesus, our elder brother, right?
Mm.
So Jesus is our big brother. Hebrews tells us that. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. and we want to be like God, our elder brother. So unpack that stuff then.
Yeah, so the first bit of verse 16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. So that's obviously the gospel truth,
yeah, isn't it?
We only know how to love because he laid down his life for us. Then as we read on in verses 16, 18, it says, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?
Yeah.
My little children, let us love in let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Yeah. So this is, I watch what Jesus did for me, and then I want to be like Jesus, my big brother. Mm-hmm. So then I start practicing that and how I treat his other brothers and sisters. So this is boots on the ground practice, isn't it, of what we've seen.
Yeah.
We give and we serve. We don't just talk about it. Hatred also looks like neglecting my brother and sister here. Mm. You know, I can see their need, but I'm not going to reach out to meet that need. Then it's actually a type of hatred, you know?
Mm. Yeah, and I think it's seeing Jesus. So the beginning of verse number 16 is seeing Jesus and allowing Jesus' love to inform how we love.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's a simplified way of saying what it's teaching, but it's just simple. It's I think we get carried away when we talk about love, because Jesus' love was extravagant.
Mm.
Yeah, it was very flamboyant in many ways, because it was like the greatest love that you can display. But I think what we're being called to is simple, everyday, mundane practice of joyful generosity and humble service in ordinary everyday believers. And I think what we're seeing is that is central to real, true gospel community and genuine Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, in the 21st century world, we're probably not going to be crucified for one another.
Mm-hmm.
But I die daily, you know, and I take up my cross daily. What does it look like? Like you said, simple, everyday, mundane, joyful generosity and humble service is laying down my life for my brothers and sisters, where I put them first, where I seek to meet needs, where I think about them and care for them during the week, not just see you Sunday. That's the heartbeat of genuine Christianity. So, and that's what it looks like to be like our new big brother, Jesus. So our old big brother, Cain, he took life, but our new big brother, Jesus, he laid down his life. Old big brother, Cain, murdered his brother, whereas our new big brother, Jesus, was murdered for his brothers. Mm. And we want to be like him then.
Of course, yeah.
So like God the Father, we want to love. Like God the Son, we want to love. And then verse 23 to 24, like God the Spirit, we want to love as well.
Mm-hmm. Verse 23 says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. So yeah, this one commandment, two parts.
Yeah, it's amazing. So John's so smart, like this one commandment, singular.
Yeah.
But it's two parts.
It's two, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, typical preacher stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
One point. I've got one point for you. He's got two. So it's believe Jesus and love others.
Yeah, but the fact that he says this is one commandment,
yeah,
believe Jesus and love one another, that it just shows how intrinsically, like, the you can't have the one without the other, he's basically saying. You've got one commandment, faith and love.
Yeah.
And they're so webbed together. Mm. If you have genuine faith, you will have genuine love.
Yeah.
If you have genuine love, it's because you have genuine faith. They're so linked together like this.
Yeah, so gospel faith and gospel community interwoven together.
Yeah, yeah. So much so that they're one and the same commandment.
Yeah.
So like in the Old Testament, Paul says and Jesus says, the law and the prophets hang on the two commandments, love God, love your neighbor. So in the New Testament, the teaching of Jesus, right? If you could summarize the whole teaching of Jesus in the four gospels, it's this, believe that I am the Christ and love one another.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, John said that in specific terms a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I mean, verse number 24, I mean, it's clear as day. It says, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Right.
By this, referring back to verse 23, our love.
Yeah. So this isn't saying that if I love you, then I will abide in Christ. Mm-hmm. It's saying that if I if I love you, then it's evidence that I am abiding in Christ.
If I'm abiding in Christ, I'll love you. If I love you, I'll abide in Christ.
Exactly. So by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Mm. So all of this is possible. This whole love one another sacrificially, generously, joyfully, is all only possible because the Holy Spirit is living within us. And that's why we're talking about loving like the Holy Spirit. So the only way to love like this is John 15, to abide in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So if you see a brother or sister loving this way, you know for a fact that person is walking in intimate fellowship with Jesus.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think it's tough not to see a brother or sister in the way that Jesus sees people, because we have a tendency to put our heads down and care about our own business. But he's like, this whole chapter, he's like, if you see a brother or sister.
Yeah.
So it's like having the spiritual eyes, the Christ-like eyes, to be able to identify that, and you can't have Christ-like eyes if you're not walking in intimate fellowship with Christ.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So it's a good thing to look out for. Maybe it's not even happening to you, but you can see them do it for someone else, and you can rejoice to see that's the Spirit of God moving in a person.
Your faith is strengthened by that person.
Yeah. So if you see a brother or sister living this way, it strengthens the faith of the rest of the community, because they're witnessing the Holy Spirit at work.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can get in on that, because the same Spirit working in them can also do this work in me too.
So a healthy gospel community, we're both living this way, and our faith is strengthened by living this way, but our faith is strengthened by observing.
Yeah.
So it's a community that doesn't just do, but a community that observes.
It observes, yeah. Gives, receives, and watches other people giving and receiving.
That's good.
And we're all just celebrating, basking in that together. So what we've hoped to see and show you in 1 John 3 is the whole Trinity is involved in this. We want to be like the Father who give us Son. We want to be like the Son who give us life. We want to be like the Spirit who is living within us, making this all possible. The triune God dwells together in perfect, eternal, overflowing love for one another, and they have invited us into the experience of that love. I mean, if you read, which again we're reading it this week, John 13-17, it's like, I love the Father and I love you as much as I love the Father. And you're all right. And I love, you know, as the Father loves me, so I love you, and as the Father loves, so he loves you, and the Father wants to abide in you, I'm going to abide in you. And then we see the Spirit of God's abiding in you. So we're invited into the experience of love that the Trinity shows one another.
Yeah.
And as a result, then we express that love outwardly toward one another, because we're all in this, like we read earlier, the circle of grace.
So. And I think it should be alarming when you said it a minute ago, I kind of like, whoa, even though we were prepared these notes together, the Trinity is involved in gospel community.
Yeah.
So like, gospel community is no small potatoes.
No.
It's a sacred thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So we are invited near to God to bask under the glorious waterfall of the soul satisfying love of God, and then pour that out onto one another.
Yeah.
So if I go to him for satisfaction, but I also go to him for transformation, my life is being changed. I'm becoming more like him. More like him means more loving.
Hmm.
And then I'm gonna start pouring that out upon my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
And just imagine a whole community of people basking in Christ and pouring that out in one another.
Yeah.
That would probably be what we'd call a gospel community.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see that, mate. I really do.
Yeah.
A whole community basking and pouring. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's 1 John 3. May God help us to obey this commandment to believe on Christ daily and to love one another daily.
Yeah.
The way he did.
Receivers and givers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Baldy Bishops podcast. If you wish to get a hold of us, you can contact us at baldybishops@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. Hey, do you want to go get that? Okay. That sounds great. Let's go.